Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 126. Our first reading today comes from the Psalms. This collection of ancient poetry was the hymn book for our ancestors, filled with songs of hope, of lament, of love sung to their God. Today, we read a song of joy, rooted in the experience of a farming community whose lives rise and fall with the weather and the crops. This psalm expresses the joy of a great harvest. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Our second reading is another song, this one sung by Mary after she realizes that she is pregnant and that God is calling her to bear an important child. Her song echoes the songs of other women of faith who have received amazing children. Clearly, the coming of a child unlocks hopes and dreams within us. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love a good storm. How many people love big storms? There's a few. Remember that storm a couple of weeks back that just buffeted the side of my house with rain and wind? As much as I was a little concerned about the shingles on my roof that are pushing 20 years old, I also just loved being nestled warm in my bed and feeling the wildness going on outside. Trina and I love to go to Tofino in around February because it's just wild. And the waves are huge. One of my favorite experiences of storms that I in my whole life was one summer day when I went up to the top of Idaho Peak, which is in the Kootenays, and didn't know it at the beginning of the hike, but once we got close to the top, this thunderstorm moved in. And as you're hiking up, this is alpine meadow, no trees really, it's just, you know, or sparse trees, alpine meadow, towards the top where there is a fire service lookout hut, and I could hear the crackle of lightning around, just this as it struck in different places. It was stunning. So we kind of made a beeline for the fire service lookout, which is right on the very peak, right? Which is, of course, the safest place to be. It is, actually, because the hut is held down with these great big cables. And it's the safest place to be on that whole mountain because it is so well grounded to the mountain. A little bit wild, but it's the safest place to be. So lightning could hit, and lightning was flashing all around us. I could feel the electricity in the air, feeling the hair kind of raise on the back of my head and on my arms. It was wild. But being well grounded in that place, I could relax, mostly. Being grounded didn't take the storm away, but it did give a sense of security that all was going to be fine. Calling someone a well-grounded person is a real compliment. To be well-grounded is to be, you know, down to earth, have a good mental and emotional foundation that is not easily shaken. That's being well-grounded. A well-grounded person is the kind of person that in the midst of a really bad year is also aware that not every year is going to be like this. There is a confidence in a well-grounded person that I admire. When Paul, in various places in the Bible, makes a list of spiritual gifts, gifts of teaching, gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongue, gifts of interpretations of tongues, he does not mention groundedness, but I think he ought to. Because it's one of the most precious spiritual gifts, I think, to be grounded. Well grounded is to have your eyes open and clear to the reality that you live in, without any illusions, to be aware, to have your feet firmly planted in reality, but with a long perspective. Now, I don't know whether Mary was a well-grounded person, but an unexpected pregnancy will certainly test that. And I am sorry if I lack a little imagination, but I kind of wonder about her reaction to the news that she receives. We didn't actually read that part, but it's a familiar piece that comes just before this part where the angel comes and visits her and tells her that she's pregnant. This teenager from Nazareth has just learned that she is pregnant out of wedlock, and the reaction that Luke's gospel gives us to that is a mild-mannered, "How can this be?" Followed by a rather magical explanation from the angel with an agreeable, "Let it be so." Well, I'm sorry. Forgive me, but I can't help but imagining a rather less grounded response, like hysterical tears, like, "My life is over!" Like, "Ah, Joseph will never have me now!" Isn't that a little bit more realistic? Now, obviously, I've never been pregnant. But I am quite aware of the way in which a pregnancy can immediately bring to the surface all the details of the reality of your life. I can't be pregnant now. I don't have a job. How am I going to support this family and another small child? Reality. Pregnant? I mean, that changes everything. We thought we wouldn't be able to have kids. Reality. Pregnant? What kind of a place is a refugee camp to bring a child into the world? It's reality. If you're not well grounded in reality before you get the news, it's certainly there afterwards. Don't know whether you've heard about this computerized doll that is used in high schools these days. Baby Think It Over, I think it's called. The students take this doll home and have to take care of it as a real child. And it's computerized. It's programmed to need to be changed, to need to be fed, to need to be cuddled, everything that a child, an infant, needs. And the computer records the treatment that the doll receives. The idea, of course, is, well, a dose of reality. It's what pregnancy brings into stark focus, reality. But a pregnancy also gives rise to some deep thinking about our hopes and our dreams. Is our life really the way we want it to be? Is the world into which we are bringing this child really the world the way we want that child to experience it? Are we living the life we feel called to live? And what will this child inherit in that life? Is our life what we dreamed it would be? What kind of a way of living will we show this child? Pregnancy can not only ground us in reality, the way things are, but can also ground us in the real hopes and dreams of our hearts, the way we long for things to be. It grounds us in both those things at the same time. I'll never forget the moment when I first held one of my children in my arms. Never had a child before, first child. This is the mid-80s, mid to late 80s. I've been involved in the peace movement in Victoria, not at peace with the world the way it is. This is Reagan's time. This is nuclear proliferation and some glimmer of hope that we'll be able to dial that back. And along comes a child. First time I ever held her in my arms, I said to her, "Welcome to this world." And it was a genuine welcome, immediately followed by a, "Dear God, we have our work cut out for us to create a world that is worthy of such a gift." Now, we don't get the benefit of hearing the reality into which Mary's pregnancy was grounded. I mean, the scriptures give us no clues about the mental and emotional practical realities of this particular unwed mom. Because that's not really what the scriptures wanted us to focus on. We do, however, get the benefits of hearing the hopes and dreams of this unwed mom. That she was grounded in. Because she goes off to see her sister, who is also pregnant. And she sings her a song of a great turning within the life of her people. A great turning reminiscent of the one the psalmist wrote about centuries previously. The poor are lifted, the mighty oppressors brought low, the proud scattered. I love the older version of this. The proud scattered in the imaginations of their hearts. The hungry fed. And there is joy in the dreams, and there is hope. When we expect a child or a grandchild, we look forward to the world that will be theirs. And we, like Mary, become grounded in and deeply aware not only of reality, but also of our longings. I mean, for Mary, I can't help but believe that this surprise pregnancy would give rise to a dazzling thunderstorm of feelings and worries and fears, real and imagined. I mean, she was a human being, after all. Not unlike you and me. But she was a human being also grounded in the promises of God, that God would be with her, and that somehow her bearing this child, and in every way that she could, bearing God in her life, that her dreams and her reality were somehow bound up in God's dreams and God's realities in this world. It's true for Mary. It's true for us. You have dreams and you have realities, and God is bound up in them. That is God's promise. What gets me through? What allows me moments of groundedness and grace in the midst of a thunderstorm, in whatever form it comes, is the belief, which is really more like a trust, that was in Mary as well, that has been saving grace for me over and over again, and that is a trust that somehow, my people's realities are within the awareness of God. They are also God's realities. And my people's dreams are in the dreams of God, are also God's dreams, bound up together. I mean, Mary's trust and our trust is that trust, that thing that we say, okay, God, I'm with you, I trust you. That is like the grounding wires on the top of the mountain in the thunderstorm. That trust, it doesn't make the storm go away. It doesn't actually abate it one little bit. But it is the thing that makes it possible to say, like Mary, okay, let it be so, according to your word. I'm taking you at your word. And in that word is joy. Amen.